Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Tim Woda here with me. Tim is the owner and founder of White Peak, which is a digital marketing agency located in Reno. So today we're going to be chatting with Tim a little bit about his journey of starting his agency, how he continues to grow his agency, and also some challenges that he's had to overcome along the way. So thank you so much for joining me today, Tim.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, of course. So to get started, I always ask my guests, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
To start or just generally day to day?
So that's how I always, you know, start things off with the show. But yeah, like what's kind of like your why? Like what fuels you and motivates you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, for me, I am an entrepreneur at heart, serial entrepreneur. So I've been involved in starting five different companies. And, awesome. You know, as an agency owner, we have the opportunity to work with other entrepreneurs. And so, it allows me to kind of scratch an itch that I always really have. We view ourselves more than just a marketing partner, but really a growth partner. And so we get to get into the weeds a little bit deeper than, you know, running a campaign. And that's nice for us to be able to, like I said, scratch that itch and feel like we're always being entrepreneurial, even though we're past the stage where we're starting our own business and we're managing our business, we're always helping other people grow.
Yeah. It's so cool when you're able to, you know, be speaking with someone else and you're really speaking the same language. You know, it's entrepreneur to entrepreneur. You understand it, you know, it's not an easy path, but it's super rewarding. And I love that you get to, you know, work with other businesses that you're so passionate about.
Right, for sure. Yeah, you know, it's been interesting because for us, you know, so many agencies, they specialize in a particular vertical. We actually purposefully wanted to stay working with really entrepreneurial companies. So all of the companies that we work with are like funded startups or companies that are in a kind of a hyper growth mode. And so,
that's cool.
You know, like our whole DNA is about entrepreneurs. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. So talk a little bit about your journey of starting White Peak. I'd love to know, you know, what that motivating factor was to start an agency and then, you know, what it was like in those early days.
Yeah. So I describe myself as kind of an accidental marketer. I in a million years never thought I would own an agency.
Interesting.
Yeah. In a million years, like it happened and I was like, what is happening right now? So I started my entrepreneurial journey 20 some odd years ago with a business that I started. And over the years, you know, every 5 or 6 years, I was involved in another startup. And of the first four businesses, three of them successfully exited. And in 2006, and I always handled growth and marketing within these businesses that we started. And most of them, all of them but one, were venture-backed businesses. And I was responsible for growth. So over the years, I learned a few things about how to grow businesses. We acquired collectively between all of those businesses about 800 million online customers. So like, wow. I felt like I kind of cracked the code. Like I knew how to do this for myself, right? That I was a part of. So in 2016, I was involved in a business which had a successful exit. And I was kind of just trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, right? What am I going to do next? And while I was trying to figure out what that next business was, someone in my professional network who was a lawyer, a partner in a large law firm came to me and said, hey, Tim, would you, this was like someone who I had done some work with before in my last business. He said, Tim, would you come run our digital marketing? And listen, I'm not a dress up and go into a conservative law firm guy, right? Like I'm not showing up at a law firm every day wearing a suit. And I said, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do next. So in the meantime, I'll help you out. And, you know, I did a little consulting for this firm, and it was a 100-year-old law firm. These attorneys, they had about 395 lawyers. They couldn't even, like, they could do nothing, right? They couldn't execute on any strategy that we brought to the table. So I was always bringing in contractors and vendors and people to help execute on the strategy that I was putting forward for them. About 4 months into this, I was like, I'm so dumb. I should have all these people on payroll, right? Like, this is silly. And so that really is what gave me the idea of, okay, maybe I can help other people do this. And so over the next few months, I started kind of cobbling together people that had worked with me in the past on other ventures, really in-house people, and said, hey, what do you think if we did this for other people? And so we kind of got the band back together, if you will, people that I had relationships with professionally that I'd worked with, and White Peak was born. And I fired my one client because I couldn't obviously have it be a one client business. That'd be pretty terrible business. and so we started the process of going out and building a portfolio of clients. And really what I learned in the early days is that I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. That's what I learned most, was that every single decision I made was poorly informed. And you know, I really succeeded in spite of myself. Because I was just learning as I went. I had never worked at an agency, let alone own an agency. So, you know, everything around, and my team didn't have agency background either, right? So we were really learning by failing and accidentally succeeding.
It's so interesting that you just kind of fell into it, but it sounds like you had, you know, a really good knack for marketing. So it was a natural fit.
Fun, right? Like I said, everyone on my team, every single member of my team has at one point owned their own business or had to make their own payroll in the specific niche that they work within our agency. So like if we're a team where it has become a job requirement that you can't even work here unless you've done your own thing.
That's cool.
So we're really from the ground up all about entrepreneurship, and so it's been kind of cool to do it that way.
Yeah. So how did you bring on those first few clients, you know, after you were no longer working with the legal company? I'm really curious to know what that was like, and then how that strategy has evolved with regards to bringing in leads over the years.
Yeah. So where we started was, because I had a background of working in the startup community for like 20 years, not quite 20 years at the time, but a long time. I started out by networking with investors and saying, hey, you know, what are some of the portfolio companies that you're working with that need help?
That's really cool.
And it was something that, like, even to this day, I just don't see agencies do that. I see agencies pursuing companies off of Crunchbase and places, you know, looking for recently funded companies. But what they don't do is they don't go to people who, number one, have huge influence with these startups. And number two, they're essentially the source of money, right? So that they're saying, hey, I invested in you and here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to this agency over here. So there's very few people that are working with, you know, private equity companies and venture capitalists as the in to get into startups. And that has been something that's been really useful for us. They have skin in the game. They also don't have so much, they don't have time, so they don't really want to be involved. But when a startup founder gets a call from their largest investor and he or she says, I want you to talk to this company, they take that meeting. And so I've come in through the back door, and everyone else, all my competitors, are basically trying to get in touch with that startup founder who doesn't have time and doesn't think he has the money. Well, he suddenly finds the money when his largest investor says, I want you to talk to this marketing company. So it's just so been smart. It's been a helpful strategy for us. And the byproduct of that is that we don't have to go after as many companies because we're just working on building relationships with investors.
Yeah. So when you were reaching out to investors in the early days, were they existing relationships or were they relationships that you actively went out and nurtured?
There was a couple that got us started from existing relationships, people that were involved in deals that I had been involved in with the other companies that I had been involved in. But that kind of got us going. And then after that, we started building out, you know, a larger cold outreach. And basically we created tools that allowed them to assess the digital marketing health of companies that they were looking at investing in or in projects That's they were so looking cool. at investing in. And so we yeah. just said, hey, listen, you know, if you were going to invest in a company that made use of a lot of technology, you would bring someone in who could help you assess the health of the technology plan. Why don't you yeah. do the same thing with digital marketing, and we can help you assess that, and we'll do it for free. And yeah. so we would come in and we would effectively, you know, we know everything there is to know about the marketing. We would say, hey, here's what they're doing right in their plan. Here's what they should change. So many startup entrepreneurs are not really marketers. They're product people. So many of them. And so their plans are, you know, not awesome, to be direct. You know, they don't know. So it allows us to build credibility and trust on the front end. And, you know, it's kind of a loss leader for us in terms of time and energy, but it results in us having, you know, clients, and it pays off in the long run.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because it's a great way to lead with value first by, you know, giving them this helpful tool that they're, you know, able to use to assess the digital yeah. marketing health of the companies they're investing in. So I think that's a really cool strategy.
Thanks. It's worked for us. So fingers yeah. crossed it will keep working.
Awesome. So, you know, as you've grown your agency, do you have, you know, one or two tips for how to maintain happy clients along the way so that, you know, hopefully they're going to bring in referrals for you?
Yeah. So the most important thing I think related to happiness is taking the time on the front end to set very clear expectations around what we're going to do and how long it's going to take, you know, the communication cadence, all these things around behavior. Anyone who's competent, I think, will come up short of promising results. You know, I think that starts getting in a pretty dangerous place. When you say, mm-hmm. I promise I'm going to get you this. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do the best we can. We think we got a good track record. So it yeah. really comes down to people feeling like that you are meeting expectations. And whether you're talking about clients or whether you're talking about your personal relationships, almost always friction comes in when there's unmet expectations that someone doesn't know that the other party had for them. And yeah. so spend a whole bunch of time on the front end understanding what their expectations are and letting them know whether we can or can't meet those expectations. And if we're not a good fit, we're not a good fit. But that almost always resolves problems. And when we do have problems, it's because they forgot about the expectations. And so another thing that we do is all of our client engagements, we don't sign a client for more than 6 months at a time. So a lot of people will sign a client on for a year. We don't do that. We only engage on a 6 month time frame so that as we get close to 6 months, we can say, is this working? Is this a good fit? By the way, let's set the expectations for the next 6 months. And so we're constantly treating the client like they're a new client. It really has worked well for us.
That's really interesting. And I think, you know, just taking that extra time at the beginning to manage those expectations is a great way to really, like you mentioned, you know, listen. And I think just like, it's going to build a really firm foundation to grow that relationship with that client as well and build a lot of trust.
Yeah. You know, the marketing itself is not the hard part of doing an agency, right? Like, you know, all agency owners are agency owners because they know how to do marketing. What's really challenging, I think, is the relationships with clients, contractors, and employees. That's what makes agencies successful is kind of the, you know, are you connecting? Is there lost cycles because you guys talk past each other, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Do you guys do like a monthly reporting where you're checking in with all of your clients to make sure that they're, you know, happy and on the same page?
Yeah. So depending upon the size of the client, we range from weekly to monthly. And on those, when it's monthly, we will, again, depending upon the size, it's either a scenario where we're kind of recording an update where we're saying, hey, here's what we're seeing, here's trends, here's things we're going to be doing next month. And we send them a video and we say, let's schedule time to go over this if you have any questions.
I like that.
Huge numbers of people say, nope, I'm good. You've given me what I need. If they're a little bit larger client, you know, we'll take the approach of a scheduled meeting that we have on the calendar. And it's part of our expectations. We'll say, we're going to meet on the first Thursday of every single month at 9 a.m. And if you don't show, that's okay. I'll record an update for you. You know, 10 minutes, I'm going to bounce off the Zoom call, but I'll record an update and I'll send it to you. So, you know, we try to have pretty constant communication with people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think it's key. Like you mentioned, you know, the marketing's not the hard part. It's managing the expectations. Yeah, they're unpredictable. Right. Tons of great points that you shared there. And I'd love to know, you know, what's one big challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown White Peak, and how have you overcome that challenge?
Yeah, so last year was a real challenging year for us. You know, we finished out what I would say is kind of that COVID era. And that really got us thinking. So we had an office in downtown Reno. And, you know, when COVID, you know, really was full blown, you know, we all had to go home. We pretty much had to work from home. And that got our wheels turning, like, well, are we spending our money wisely? Right. I mean, our clients are everywhere. We're dealing with them on Zoom. And, you know, we clearly know how to work with people on Zoom. Why are we spending all this money to be in the same office? And so it got our wheels thinking about just efficiently spending money. And so I would say, you know, big challenge was last year, we made a concerted effort to look really critically at what we were spending money on as an agency, on what were we doing, because, you know, like I said, when we started this, we didn't know any better. We just did things and we're like trying to figure it out as we went. And so we kind of took a step back and said, okay, if we were going to relaunch this business and we were starting from scratch, would we be making the same decisions? And so last year was about, you know, our revenue really didn't climb last year very much. What we did, however, was we dramatically reduced what it cost for us to deliver on the same revenue. And so we became significantly more profitable last year, even though we didn't have, you know, really big growth. And so coming into this year, now we feel like, okay, we've reinvented ourselves in terms of being more efficient and cost effective in delivering things. And so I feel like this year we're going to be able to grow in a much more cost effective way, much more scalable way in the end.
That's interesting. So last year you were just taking the time to really like dial in those processes so that you were able to be more efficient and more profitable.
So not just processes was probably the most costly thing, because it involves humans, right?
Right.
Pesky humans, right? Like we're just, you know, so we really dialed in our processes to make sure that like everything that we did was efficient so that we could maximize the amount of hours that we had in the day. On some level, what we sell, there's kind of two things. On one hand, we're selling a skill set, right? Where if I can do something in 10 minutes, I should get paid the same amount as if it took someone else 10 hours, because you're paying me for what I can do, not for how much time I give you, right? On one level.
Right. Yes.
I've had clients, we've all had clients who say, well, you know, you got this done really fast. Why am I paying you this bill? And it's like, because it took me 25 years to learn how to do that quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a valuable skill.
Yeah. So on one hand, there is an aspect of skill, but on the other hand, no matter how you slice it, we are selling time. Right. And so to the extent that we can improve our processes and recapture that time, those minutes, those hours, those weeks, effectively is like a brick and mortar store adding inventory to the shelf. I can't sell what I don't have on the shelf. And so if I'm not incredibly efficient, no matter how efficient, at the end of the day, I am selling time. I need to maximize the size of my inventory, right? And so when we last year got more efficient, that meant I had more inventory to sell. And so that allows us this year to really, really grow. The other side of that is technologies. So we really streamlined what technologies we were using in order to, you know, maximize, you know, our every dollar, so that we're not having too many tools to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, that's really smart. Yeah, looking at where, what expenses you're putting into software, because those can add up really quick.
What's funny is that there's so many things that I think agencies do that we're like, that's a great thing to do. And then when you really drill down and talk to your customers, they're like, yeah, I didn't really realize you were doing that. I didn't really care. And you're mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, I'm spending time on the technology. It's time training my people. My people are doing this particular thing and I think it's great, but the customer hasn't looked at it in 8 months. So why am I doing it? You know?
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of that type of stuff going on last year too.
That's interesting. Awesome. So where do you see White Peak in 5 years' time?
Yeah, I think we're going to now make the change. You know, I talked a lot in the beginning about like our niche is working with funded startups. I think we will look for new niches. We'll continue to, you know, try to grow where we already are planted. And so we're not going to abandon that by any stretch. But I think there's new niches that we can go after that we'll have a lot of success with. I think we've identified some niches that are underserved, number one. And number two, where they are served, we think that our competitors are getting to them in a very expensive, unscalable way. And
interesting.
So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm an accidental marketer. My core competency is being an entrepreneur. And so when you're an entrepreneur, I think you have to figure out how to build a better mousetrap. That's what entrepreneurs do. They build something out of nothing and they do it better than the last guy. So for me, I employ great marketers. And I think I know a few things about marketing too. Where I can add the most value to my company is as an entrepreneur and looking at a niche and saying, okay, how are the other agencies out there getting to these customers? And can I build a better mousetrap, a better way to get to them that's more cost effective and in the end provides the same or better service? Because if I can, you know, figure out how to get to them easier, like we did with startups, right? Going to the investors.
Yeah.
If we can do similar types of things in other niches, that we assume we'll have similar success in those new niches. So long answer to a simple question. What are we going to do? We're going to try to add more niches.
Very cool. That's very exciting. Awesome. So we're now ready to move on to the fast five. So I'm going to have five rapid fire questions for you.
All right.
All right. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
My favorite book that's made an impact is a book that was written what seems like a lifetime ago. It was when I first started down in being an entrepreneur. It was a book written by Jack Welch, who's the former CEO of General Electric. He took over General Electric like back in the 80s. And it was this big behemoth of a company, it was the largest company in the world at the time, super inefficient. And the book is called Get Better or Get Beaten. And the book was published, I think, in the mid 90s, somewhere along the way. I read it probably, you know, I don't know, gosh, like 15 years ago. And of all of the things in this book, so he breaks down like 29 leadership secrets. And I have to totally confess, I don't remember 28 of the 29. but the one that I remember from 15 years ago has stuck with me and played such a critical part of my decision making as an entrepreneur. And it was, he said, good leaders look reality in the eye and don't flinch. And I can't tell you how many business owners, agency owners, entrepreneurs I meet that are talk about things as if. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not where we are, right? That's not what the market is. Like you're part of being a good entrepreneur and a good agency owner is seeing possibility. Mm-hmm. But you also have to look reality in the eye and not flinch, right? So that's had so much of an impact on my business because I think it's helped me be grounded in not, you know, I'm not chasing unicorns.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Very cool. And then what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine is really simple. It's pretty predictable. Coffee, prayer, scripture, you know, read the Bible, spend some time with God. And then I turn my attention to planning. And so every agency owner can testify to the fact that there's always more things to do than there is time to do it. And so,
oh yeah.
All right. So for me, I always sit down and I've got kind of a two-part process for planning out every day. And I spend about 15 minutes, maybe not that much, maybe 10 minutes doing it every day. What's my must do? What's my should do? And what's my could do things for the day? Like, these are the things that, like, if this day ends and I don't get these three things done, like, I have failed the day. So I just, you know, must do, should do, could do. And then what I often find is that I don't get through the whole list, but I'm making sure that I'm getting to the most important things first.
Right. Okay. Very good. I love that. And then, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I wouldn't say that I study him so much, as much as I admire him. Tony Hsieh, who was founded Zappos, he passed away a few years ago, but he had this reputation for just being obsessed with high quality relationships with his clients and the people on his team at Zappos.
And that's cool.
So for me, success comes, you know, really down to this idea about interacting with people and being able to successfully have great relationships, take great care of them. You know, obviously you got to assume you have good product or service, you got a good plan, you know, you're doing things creatively. But beyond that, you know, you need people. And, you know, I joke that people are really, humans are really inconvenient. We are. But you can't sweep humans under the rug and say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. So I love how he was so committed to interacting with customers, even as Zappos got really, really, really big, right? He was, mm-hmm. he would personally talk to customers, you know, on Twitter and places like that. He was interacting with customers. And I just think it's a great example for us. We get so busy as agency owners and as business owners that mm-hmm. We forget that we're a human being, not a human doing. And mm-hmm. so part of being human is interacting with other humans. And so yeah. That's just a huge part of just the way that I think about our business.
Yes. I love that. That's actually like something like to really stop and think about, like, we're a human being, not a human doing. So like, just stop and take a minute, stand back and put things into perspective a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. And so what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool, there's so many good tools because people are super duper creative. But yeah. Just from a standpoint of being an agency owner, we get a lot of value out of SEMrush. As their product has expanded and grown and as they keep adding new things to it, we're able to reduce the amount of other tools we're using and mm-hmm. and just stay within that one tool. Interestingly enough, for me, just as kind of a guy who's always thinking about efficiency, the reason why I love what they're doing is that it takes time for teams to learn how to use new tools and to use new interfaces and so forth. And so by them adding, you know, incrementally, they've over the years, they've just added new things. We're able to stay experts at using one tool and we're only learning a little piece rather than like, oh my gosh, how do I interface with this new tool? Right. So we've really enjoyed their product. So
nice. Awesome. Very good. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
The world will not come to an end if I finish the day. When I was young, I used to I remember my wife just scratching her head because she didn't understand why I would work, you know, 18, 20, sometimes more hours on a business that we were starting. And as I got older, first of all, I ran out of energy. I couldn't work 20-hour days every day of the week. But shockingly, like, the world didn't come to an end. There's always something more to do. And so as I If I could go back and tell young Tim, like, hey, dude, this is how you build a business, I would say, take care of yourself, take care of the people, and things will get done. If you can prioritize well, take care of yourself and your people, you don't have to just say, well, I'm going to stay here at the office and get every single thing done that could possibly get done. I work way fewer hours today than I did when I was younger, and I'm much more productive. And I think that's probably the key takeaway I could give a younger Tim advice on is, dude, you don't have to work 20 hours a day to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. And I'm sure over the years, you know, you've come up with like a ton of ways to, you know, work smarter, not harder, and just, you know, optimize your time.
And, yeah, I mean, just simply by prioritizing, right? I mean, when you're younger, you tend to react more. Someone gave me some really good advice when problems come, which they do like every day, right? Like open your inbox, there's problems, right? There's things there, is to ask yourself a question. Is this a fix it moment or a feel it moment? Am I supposed to, like, is this something I have to interact with and deal with, or am I just being made aware of something? You know, when I was younger, I was like, everything's a fix it moment, I gotta jump in, and I'm being, you know, it's like the tail wagging the dog, where now I kind of take it and assess it and go, okay, that's just something I'm supposed to be aware of, let me just put that over here, and tomorrow I'll see where it fits on my prioritization as the day starts.
And I think also knowing, like, this is something I've struggled with, is removing that emotion too when things like that come up. And it's like, yeah, it's an issue, it's not ideal, but it doesn't have to ruin my whole day either. And just like having that perspective of, you know, just it's business, you're gonna do the best, you're gonna resolve it, like still take a compassionate approach to resolving the issue, but it doesn't need to ruin my whole day either.
Yeah, and most agency owners, you know, small agency owners, which I am, I've got a team of 12 people, so it's small, you know, certainly small. I think what we forget is that we work to enable our life, right? Our life is not there to enable our work. And so like you said, like, you know, you kind of go, okay, this is just something that's happening. It's like not that big a deal, like in the grand scheme of things, you know, let me just put it in its proper place and let's deal with that. I think younger ages, at least for me, maybe I'm a one person and no one else did this, but when I was in the first 5 years of my agency, I reacted constantly. And so I think, as you know, now I'm at a spot where I'm assessing more than I'm reacting. Right. And so
it's interesting.
Learning how to assess instead of react has been helpful.
Yeah, I agree. Very good. Well, Tim, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It was a real pleasure to learn about your journey of starting and growing White Peak. So thank you for being today's guest.
For sure. It's been fun. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.